Our text is the reading appointed for this day. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the children of Israel were complaining again. Moses and Aaron had had it with these complainers. Having put up with their griping during 40 years of wilderness wandering, Moses, with Aaron joining him, finally gave vent to pent-up frustration. Frustration with these rebellious Israelites. Moses was tired, he was worn out, and he was incensed by this latest example of their lack of trust in the Lord. So in the heat of his anger, he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And God pronounced his judgment on Moses, which also held for Aaron, who was in league with Moses. Our text presents to us Moses' failure and God's grace. Moses' failure, we ask. What did he do that was so bad? God's grace, we ask. Where is God's grace in this text? In considering Moses' failure, the first point to be made is that Moses knew better. He knew that God did not want him to strike the rock with the staff. Earlier in Egypt, when God had brought down the plagues upon the Egyptians, God specifically told Moses, strike the water with your staff. Strike the dust with your staff. And with regard to other plagues, stretch forth your staff. Before the miracle at the sea, God told Moses, raise your staff. At Mount Sinai, God had instructed Moses, strike the rock with your staff, and water will come forth for the people. Therefore, it is noteworthy in our text that the Lord tells Moses simply to take the staff and merely to speak to the rock. God's command was clear. Moses was not to do anything with the staff. Yet Moses disobeyed God. Moses did not speak to the rock. He raised his hand, a deliberate action on his part, but one not commanded by the Lord. He struck the rock with the staff in direct violation of God's command. He struck the rock not once, but twice. Thus the Lord said to Moses, you did not trust in me. From our context, this means that Moses did not believe that just by his speaking a word, God would bring forth water from the rock. There was a momentary wavering in his faith that God would keep his promise. Evidently, Moses felt that he had to act as he did to bring about the miracle. He was not trusting totally in God's word. He was not relying completely on God's power. So Moses sinned. Even though he was holding the staff, a constant reminder to Moses of God's almighty power. God further said to Moses, you did not honor me as holy in the sight of the congregation. Another way to say this is that Moses did not set apart God as holy before the people. Moses did not speak in the name of Yahweh. Rather, as Psalm 106 tells us, he spoke rashly. In his being worn out and angry, Moses, whether intentionally or unintentionally, did not direct the people's attention to Yahweh, but to himself. He asked them, must we, namely Moses and Aaron, bring you water out of this rock? In this context of Moses' disobedience, his raising his arm and striking the rock twice can also be seen as drawing attention to himself. Therefore, Moses was chastened by the Lord with God's word of judgment. Moses would not lead the congregation across the Jordan into the land of Canaan. His sin was that much more grievous because of his office as leader of the people. He and Aaron ought to have shown the congregation an unwavering confidence in the Lord, but they did not. Moses acted unworthily of his office. His chastening came from the holiness and the righteousness of God who hates sin. The specific chastening of the Lord, which seems harsh to us, was appropriate to Moses' position as leader of the people. In fact, Moses deserved nothing but damnation in hell. We have noted the serious nature of Moses' sin, all the more serious because of the office he occupied. Yet the smallest sin, smallest from the human standpoint, is enough to send a person to hell. We sin daily, as a result of which we are chastened by the Lord. But in reality, we, as Moses, deserve to be damned. Our text shows us Moses' failure. But what about the grace of God? Is there any grace here? Indeed, there is much evidence of God's grace in our pericope and in related texts. Because of God's undeserved kindness, his unmerited favor, water did come forth from the rock, despite Moses' disobedience. Despite the children of Israel complaining and not trusting in the Lord, God took care of them. Why was God taking such wonderful care of the Israelites? In order to fulfill his word of promise spoken to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that someday from their descendants there would be the possession of the land of Canaan, but of greater importance, that someday from the Israelites would come the Messiah, the deliverer promised already in the Garden of Eden. This Savior would, as prophesied in the Old Testament, make full atonement for the sins of all people with the shedding of his blood. And then he would come back to life again. He would rise from the dead as victor over sin and death and the devil. Because of this coming Messiah and through faith in him, Moses was not condemned to hell. Instead, he was forgiven of his sin at the rock and of all his transgressions, and he was given everlasting life. At his death, Moses went to the best promised land. Even Moses' temporal chastisement worked for his good by God's grace, for it came not only from God's holiness and righteousness, but also from God's love. This chastisement turned into a corrective blessing in Moses' life. We can be sure that as a result, Moses grew in wisdom and that he held even more closely to the word of God. He knew the theological truth written years later by the author of Psalm 130, who said to the Lord, "There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." Moses enjoyed other blessings from the grace of God. The book of Deuteronomy tells us that Moses remained physically strong and vigorous until the day that he died. Up to that time, he was able to keep on serving the Lord in a very effective way by God's grace and power. And although God would not allow him to cross the Jordan, God did permit Moses, right before his death, to see the land of Canaan. We too, as Moses, have experienced the grace of God. Through faith in the Messiah who has come, we have forgiveness of all of our sins and everlasting life. We have other blessings from God's grace, none of which we deserve, blessings both physical and spiritual. As with Moses, God uses chastisements as corrective blessings in our lives to refine us and draw us closer to him. He empowers us through his word and sacrament to serve him. He has made us ambassadors of his word. What an awesome responsibility. But we can do all things in union with Christ who strengthens us. What a privilege it is to proclaim the word of God, the law, but especially the gospel, the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So our text from Numbers contains both law and gospel. The law portion gives instructions which are of particular relevance to those who are or will be leaders in the church, to professors, students, those going out on summer vicarages, those going out as vicars, those going out as candidates. Our text tells us, Don't draw attention to yourself. Rather, always direct the people's attention to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful when you are worn out and tired. This is a dangerous time for temptation. Never let down your spiritual guard. Be careful when you are angry, lest you fall into some kind of sin. Hold strictly, always, to the Word of God and to the whole Word. The gospel that is implicit in our text reminds us that, united with Christ, empowered by Him, we can carry out these directives. The gospel portion also comforts us by telling us that when we do fail in carrying out one or some of these directives, when we do sin, God will not deal with us only as the God of holiness and righteousness. Rather, and this is the beautiful gospel message, God will deal with us much more as the God of grace for Jesus' sake. The kingdom ours remaineth. And until we go to our heavenly home, God will, out of His grace, enable us, although we are sinners, to grow as His servants and to be effective workers for Him. Moses' failure, God's grace. This account in Numbers speaks to us today. So at the close of the academic year, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word, and bless us through it as we now go our separate ways to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.